Hey everyone, welcome to my podcast. This is Patty Valenzuela, the senior pastor of Ignite Movement Church in El Paso, Texas. Thank you for joining me. I hope this helps you and encourages you and helps you become all that you were created to be. Enjoy the message. The title of my message is Fear Distorts Who You Are. Say, fear distorts who I am. I believe that in this time of alignment, in this time, in the season where God is aligning all things, let me ask this question before I even get into the message. How many of you think that you have a good grasp on who you really are? Like, you have a good grasp on I know who I am. I'm a daughter of God. I'm a son of God. I know who I am. How many of you kind of think, well, you know, I kind of have a good grasp on that? Raise your hand. It's okay. She's like, how many of you think, like, I think I got a pretty good grasp on that? I've been growing in that. I know who I am. Okay, that's good. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you can answer this truthfully? How many of you have still some fears of anything, any kind of fear? Raise your hand. If you have just even a little remote fear of spiders, can you raise your hand if you say, you know, Apostle, I have a little bit of fear in certain areas of my life. Let me say this to you. You cannot have fears on any level and know who you are. You can't. It is impossible for you to know who you are and still have fears at any level of your life. The Lord has come to speak to Ignite Movement to get rid of every fear possible at any level of your life. Because I believe that what you're going to enter into the new, there can't be any trace of fear in any area, in any stage, in any area of your life. To know who you are as a daughter of God, you must rid of all fears in your life. Fear is, if I could put a picture, fear will distort. When you look at fear, fear tends to distort. If you look at a picture and it's a distorted picture, You can't really see, you can't get a good grasp on what something is. Have you ever gone to maybe an amusement park and you stand in front of a mirror and the mirror is beveled and it's, you know, and it makes you look shorter or taller. You know what I'm saying? And the mirror distorts the real image. The mirror, when you look at it, it distorts what you really look like. And so fear will always distort. You need to write that down. If I can describe fear, I would say that fear always will distort what it really is. You can't see clearly. But we make fear normal nowadays. We think that fear is something that's normal. We call it, it's something that I maybe battle a little bit. But when you become a person and a believer, and you accept Jesus in your heart and you say, Jesus, come inside my heart. You actually have invited the Holy Spirit to come inside of you. And so now a new spirit called the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. You receive the Spirit, Holy Spirit, another spirit that takes what was natural out of you. So if you have the Holy Spirit, then fear should not dwell in your life. You know, how many of you want to be a skinny mini? I like the skinny mirrors. But that's a good picture of what distortion looks like. Fear will do that. When you look in the mirror and you have any levels of fear, fear will always give you a distorted view and a distorted image. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, Paul says this. He says in 2 Timothy 1 7, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid. So if you have the Holy Spirit, it doesn't make you timid. But it gives us what? Power, love, and self-discipline or self-control. And so if you have the Holy Spirit, then you don't have any spirit of timidity or fear. Paul says, this spirit that God gave us called the Holy Spirit, it is a spirit by which we can cry, Abba, Father. And it's the spirit of adoption. And so many people, hear me and hear me well, so many people will get saved. They accept Jesus in their heart, but they leave the fears with them. And rather than transforming, because now you have the Holy Spirit, You can get rid of every fear because God did not give you a spirit of fear. He gave you the Holy Spirit, which now allows you to cry out, Abba, Father. Which means that if I have the Holy Spirit, I don't have to live with fear. But so many people get saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and they leave the fears there. They do nothing with it. There are so many fears. Fear of loving others is where I'm going to land today. Fear of the future. There are so many people that have fear of failure. Fear to love. Fear of the future. Fear of what if I don't quite amount to what I should be? What if I never reach the destiny that God has for me? And many people live like that. They live with fears, unknown fears, hidden fears, fears that have paralyzed you for so long. Hear me, your relationships with your brothers and your sisters, the relationships that you have even with God, the relationships that you have even with me or with Pastor, your relationships and the quality of those relationships are only going to be determined by how aggressive you are in dealing with the spirit of fear. Every relationship that you have, if it is a relationship that is superficial, you know, I find it ironic how many people say, I don't really have friends. Yet you're around a lot of people. And that is a sign that there is a spirit of fear that is reigning or governing in an area of your life. And your relationships will be determined by how aggressive you are in dealing with the spirit of fear. If you had relationships in the past or even in the present, and there's been cycles in these relationships, and your friends, you're not friends, your friends, you're not friends, you're talking, you're not talking, I don't like you, now I like you, I want to be here, I don't want to be here. If there are cycles of that roaming inside of your life, then at the root of that is the root of fear. Sometimes it's privatized fear. We don't like to talk about it. Because if you got really honest, some people are public about fear. Sometimes we can talk about and being comfortable about a fear of, oh yeah, I'm scared of spiders. I don't like spiders. And we can publicize that. But when it comes to, I'm afraid of intimacy, and I'm afraid to even have a friendship with you because I'm afraid that you're going to walk away like other friends walked away. Sometimes they are not publicized fears. Sometimes they are very privatized fears. But the most powerful fears in our lives are the ones without discussion. The most powerful fears in our lives are the private ones, the ones that nobody knows about, the ones that are private, the ones that are afraid of authority. Or giving maybe a pastor an opportunity to maybe guide you again. The privatized fears, those, my friend, are the most dangerous. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. He says, I'm the God that searches the heart. I search the inner places. I'm the God that looks at you, worship team. I'm the God that looks at you, beloved. I'm the God that searches the inside of you. I don't look at your external. I'm the God that looks at what's really going on the inside of you. And you will never be able to devote yourself to any relationship when there is fear. You can't commit to a relationship when there is fear. I pray that the Holy Spirit would expose every area of fear when it comes to relationships. Because I believe that God is taking you on this journey to free you for the next dimension of your life. If there is any fear, God is saying to you, you won't be able to devote yourself fully. As long as you have fear, you will never commit to anything. You will be in cycles. You will leave. I believe that we are living in times where the Bible calls covenant breakers. There is a scripture where the Bible says that there is a lot of covenant breakers. You once said that you will never leave God, but you broke the covenant. You once said that you will always be faithful and committed, but you broke the covenant. You once said, oh, I will never leave you, but you broke the covenant. You once said, oh, I will be here for life, but you broke the covenant. I believe we are living in Bible times where there are a lot of covenant breakers. And can I tell you, at the root of every covenant breaking covenant, every covenant breaker is always fear. Fear is the reason why we break covenants. The root of every covenant breaking relationship is because I am scared. See, fear has a lot of manifestations. You look at fear from the standpoint of I'm scared of spiders. But did you know that fear has a lot of manifestations? Fear has different colors, different types of characteristics. It is not just fear. Fear will begin to manifest in different ways. Sometimes fear will manifest in panic. Sometimes fear will manifest in anxiety. Have you ever felt anxious that you can't sleep? That's fear. It will, hear me, it will manifest in refusal to commit. When you don't want to commit to a church, and you don't want to commit even to a pastor, or you don't want to commit even to be in discipleship, the root of lack of commitment is fear. All fear will manifest in a lack of commitment. What is motivating? What motivates the inconsistency of a person? A person that is so inconsistent. It's like you're here, you're not here. You're up, you're down. You're on a roller coaster. Are you dedicated or are you not? The inconsistency of an individual is only the manifestation of fear. I don't, see, hear me. Like somebody that would say this, I don't want to be alone. Therefore, I'm going to join myself to somebody. Because you're afraid of being alone. And so because you're afraid of being alone, you join yourself to a wrong individual that God never intended for you. And because of that, hear me, the motivating factor was fear. You're afraid to be alone. And so now you have joined yourself to somebody, but your foundation is already wrong because your foundation is now in fear. And we have to be so violent, I think, in controlling our personal fears. Because God told me, He did not give me a spirit of fear. He gave me a spirit of love, power, and the Holy and self-discipline, which means I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. Fear will distort. Fear will make you see things that aren't really there. And you will never hear me. Oh, this is so good what I'm about to tell you. You will never see your life clearly as long as fear is in your life. You will never see yourself clearly as long as fear is in your life. You will never see people clearly as long as fear is in your life. Because the way you see yourself becomes ambiguous. And because there is fear inside of your life, now the way you see yourself is ambiguous, unclear. You're open. In other words, that word ambiguous means to be open to more than one interpretation. Because you're distorted images. Because fear is at the heart. Hear me. God is so committed to seeing you free and healed. Did you know your God and the one that you said, yes, God, come inside of my heart, is so committed to seeing you free and to see you so healed and so delivered? He's committed to your deliverance. He is committed to your healing. The Bible says in Psalm 140, verse 7, look what it says. Sovereign Lord, my what? Strong deliverer. You shield my head in the day of battle. He calls himself the strong deliverer. He wants you free. He doesn't want you bound. And everything that we do is for the sake of freedom. When I, hear me, everything that we do for God should be for the sake of freedom. What do you mean? I mean, every friendship that you have should be for the sake of your freedom. I'm going somewhere. When I worship God for the sake of freedom. Because sometimes I may not want to do something, but worship allows me to bend and yield to God's perfect will. And so when I worship God, it allows freedom to my life. Everything I do is for the sake of freedom, including fellowship with my brothers and my sisters. It is for the sake of freedom. And we don't want, sometimes, if we don't want freedom for freedom's sake. In other words, we maybe don't want freedom for the sake of freedom. Sometimes people are wanting freedom because, you know, you want to do your own thing, and that's not freedom. Paul said it very clear. He said, you're not to become lawless in your freedom. Freedom doesn't mean you go and do whatever it is that you want. That's called slavery. You want freedom for the sake of freedom. In other words, I want freedom because I want to be free from any bondage and any fear. And you can't, hear me, you cannot have the future. You cannot have purpose. You cannot have destiny if you're not free. Because slaves are not successful. Only free people are. So when you want freedom, it's for the sake of future. It's for the sake of purpose. It's because there is a greater call. Because I'm called to go from glory to glory. And I want the next glory of my life. So I want freedom for that sake. But freedom is always before your destiny. Freedom is always before your calling and your purpose. There has to be freedom in our lives from every area of fear in our lives. A lot of people want destiny, but they don't want deliverance. But freedom always comes before destiny. You cannot bypass God's freedom and deliverance and get to destiny. Oh, well, I'm going to do such and such, and I'm going to get my degree, and I'm going to go to Bible school. Yes, but as long as you have bondage tendencies in you, all that you achieve will come crumbling down because you bypass deliverance. You bypass freedom. You bypass, and you can't have destiny until you first have freedom. The stream, and hear me, I'm going to focus on friendships and I'm going to focus on relationships, because the Lord said many of you have a lot of fear when it comes to relationships. The stream of godly friendships is freedom. If you want godly friendships, it's freedom. We need friends that will promote freedom. You have to become such a friend that will promote freedom, not bondage. Lift your hand up and say, I must be a friend. Say, I'm going to become a friend. Okay, say it really loud. I'm going to become a friend that promotes freedom, not bondage. So to know if I'm in a good friendship or not, or if it's a soul tie, is this a good relationship? Ask yourself, do you feel more liberated once you're with them? Do you feel yokes fall off of your life when you're with that person? Do limitations fall off of you? Do you feel more capable than you used to because of that good friendship? One of the reasons, did you know, that God gives us friends is to help us get delivered and stay free? You know why God gives you friendships? God says, and don't forget, Paul says, don't forget to come together and come to church. But then he says, and don't forget to fellowship with your brothers. Because one of the reasons that God created friends, look at your neighbor and say, you are my friend. You're like, you're my friend. You probably won't ever call them. You probably won't ever invite them. We become superficial in our relationships. We say, oh yeah, I'll pray for you. Oh yeah, I'll call you. But we bypass them. We become superficial in our relationships, in our friendships. You know why? Because there's fear at the heart. God has given you and I a thing called friendships so that you can stay free and stay delivered. That word fear comes from the Greek word phobos, phobia. It's fear of. It comes from the word, or it means to shrink back, to retreat, to run, or to cower, to shrink back. I have a question for everybody this morning. Who would you be if you had no fear? Think about that. Who would you be if you had no fear? Think about it. What type of life would you live if you literally had nothing to fear? What would your career look like? What would your friendships look like? What would your ministry look like? What would your career look like? What would your grades look like? How would you behave? Where would you go? What would you do? What could you conquer if you have absolutely no fear? And as you start to uncoil, because I believe that fear is like a spider web. Have you ever run into a spider web? And then you're like, and then you can't find it? I believe fear is like a spider web, and it coils itself around a person who is a believer. And if you don't sit there and start checking your life, many times, you know what happens to us? We start to protect our own fears. And the way the devil sets it up, such a way where we start to protect even our own fears, and we don't call it a fear. We just don't get close to everybody, but we're afraid at the core of it. And the way the devil sets it up is that we think that we have a right to be afraid because of what we've lived, because of a trauma. And I said to you yesterday, all the women, the best version that you ought to become is God's best version. There is no fear in God. So Satan, what he does, because we think, or we should say we're coiled up in spider web of fear, Satan does that. And he sets it up so that you can think that you have a right. I have a right to be afraid. I have a right. Maybe we don't say it. Maybe it's subconscious. Maybe it's unconsciously. But it's there. And it's there, and it shows in your friendships, and it shows in your relationships. It shows in how you carry yourself with other people. Satan does that because Satan wants access. He's always looking for an access in our lives. Satan is always looking for a crack. He's looking for a door. He's looking for an avenue. He's looking for an opportunity for you to give him one. And he makes sure that no matter how far you go, because you can dance your way here and you can shout your way here, because we feel the presence of God and we get excited when the worship team ushers us in into praise and into worship. But you can shout and you can yell and you can dance. But as long as Satan has an opportunity, the Bible says that sin lies at the door. And so Satan is looking for an opportunity so that you don't progress. And you can progress all you want, but he wants an entry, and the entry to Satan of all your achievements and all your relationships, the entrance is through the spirit of fear. If you are afraid, you're running from something. If you're afraid, you're shrinking back from something. If you're afraid, you are cowering from something. All the roots of fear do is it starts to distort. Oh, you got to hear and you've got to write this down, because what I'm going to say will change your life. Fear, the spirit of fear, paints a deceptive picture of your opponent called your enemy. Fear will do this. It will paint a picture against your, or I should say a deceptive picture, where you cannot even see your enemy right. You look at him from a distorted view. You look at him from a place where it's distorted. It paints a deceptive picture. You cannot have fear and see your enemy well. You can't. It's impossible. Oh, but I know who my enemy is. Yeah, but you have still a distorted image of your enemy. Fear is like the bifocal, the lens of hell. It sees through the lenses of hell. It paints a deceptive picture of your opponent, of your adversary, of Satan, of your adversary, the devil. And it paints a deceptive picture of your opponent and of yourself. So what happens is we build relationships and we build friendships and associations through a bifocal of hell. We build friendships through a distorted lens of hell. We can't see clearly. It's blurry. We can't see well. Why? Because at the heart there lies all of a sudden fear, and a spirit of fear lies within me. And now all we can see is a picture that is lying to me. All I see is a relationship, and I can't see it well. When the bifocal comes off and you start to see things clearly, you start to look at your Goliath like David did. You could see your giants like David did. And while everybody was hiding in the trenches and afraid to confront the giant, the Philistine, that man that had like, he was like 9 feet tall. He had a sword that was so big and so heavy. His armor was heavy. But when you don't have a distorted image because you have no fear, then you could see your enemy and your opponent like David did. And he said to this Philistine that ran his mouth and put fear at the heart of every Israelite and every enemy. That enemy put fear and instilled fear in all the soldiers who were hiding in trenches. But when David comes to the stage, and when David stands in the field, he looks at the Philistine and he said, "Who is this uncircumcised giant? I have a covenant with my God. I am circumcised. He's not in covenant with God. Who are you that you would defile the children of Israel? Who are you to run your mouth?" Many times we have a distorted view of our enemy because at the heart lies fear. You can't see straight with fear. You can't see people right with fear. And most people, their issues are fear-based. Psalm 34 says it this way. It says, "I sought the Lord." Come on, help me. "And he answered me." Come on, read it. "He delivered me from some of my fears." All of my fears. You know what you have to do? You have to be people that are so ruthless in divorcing fear. You have to divorce fear. You have to divorce fear. Lift your hand up and say, "I've got to be ruthless in divorcing fear." Hear me. God will not be exalted in your life as long as you have an attachment to fear. God can never be exalted in your life as long as fear is attached to you. He cannot be glorified in the way that he wants to be glorified because you are afraid. Because you cannot be made in the image of God in fear. God is not fearful. There is no fear in God. So as long as you are afraid, you are a really bad representation of God. As long as you are afraid, you have represented your maker wrong. Because there is no fear in law in God. What? That's what made the early church so powerful. They were fearless. That's why they were bold. They would be martyred. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, they loved not their lives unto death. He says, "David, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears." David's attitude was that God wanted him delivered from all fears. Not just a, "Oh, I got to get over this fear." Not just a, I'm working on it, Apostle. No. But David understood, as long as I am in fear, I am not delivered. As long as I am in fear, I cannot go to the next dimension. As long as I am in fear, I cannot reach the calling or the destiny of God for my life. I must divorce fear. Come on, give it to him. Say, "I must divorce fear." Here is the secret. And here is the solution. Here is the secret. The more you are a seeker of God, the more you seek the Lord, the more you will seek a way out of fear. It's not just renewing the mind, although you do that. It's not just confessing, although we do that. But your personal seeking, the depth of your seeking, has to be stronger than the fears that lie within you. That's good right there to shout amen. I don't know about you, but I'm preaching to myself, and this is good. It's good, Apostle. Someone with fear, their seeking is not deep enough. As you seek God, as you search out God, you become more infatuated with what you see in God and no longer infatuated by what you don't see or what hasn't happened or what your enemy looks like. When you are a seeker of God, you are so infatuated with this loving God. You're infatuated with the love of God that you no longer see people distorted, but rather you just want to love everybody. There's no fear inside of you. Why? Because you are so infatuated with your God, a seeker. That's why David said, my heart will I seek thee, God. You have to seek him until you are no longer afraid, until you are no longer a slave to fear. Seek him until you're no longer scared. Go into his presence until you are no longer held captive, until you no longer are afraid. Go into the presence of God until the power of fear breaks. Seek God until all fear vanishes. Be a seeker of God and divorce fear. If you don't have a seeking, if you don't have a seeking life, you have unconfronted fear, beloved. If you are not a seeker of the one that says, there is no fear in me, that has that at the heart of your life, there is unconfronted fear. Let me go to 1 John 4:7, and let's go there quickly. It says, dear friends, let us love. Come on, you got to read this with me. I'm going to make you stand up. All right, here we go. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his only one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atonement sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Ah, this is good stuff right here. Many people don't have a clue who they are. Many people don't have a clue. Many people don't have a clue of their own even personal capacity of love. Many people don't even know what they can do, achieve, conquer, because they've been trained by fear school. I believe the enemy has started a fear school, a fear university. You've been coached by the spirit of fear all your life. It talks to you at night. It talks to you in the morning. It's been training you all your life, the spirit of fear. Many of you have been in the university of fear longer than you have been in the university of love. It's been entertaining you every day of your life since you were a little kid. It's a terrorist. Fear talking. It talks because fear is a vocal spirit. I remember growing up at night. See, if you have children and your children are scared at night and they think there's a monster under the bed, you know what you ought to do? You ought to turn the lights off and keep them off. And you ought to take your child by the hand and tell them, where do you think that monster's hiding? Show me where that monster is. Leave the lights off and tell your daughter or your son, show me where it's at in your room. I bought this house. I pay the bills. This is my house. Ain't no monster in this house. Get out of here, man. See, 3-4 years old, you think it's cute. We watch Monsters, Inc. Aye, little Monsters, Inc. You think it's cute, but at 34, it's not cute anymore. I dare you to kick out the spirit of fear out of your kids, out of your home, out of your life. I dare you to divorce fear like nobody. I dare you to just say, my God, I'm going to divorce the spirit of fear in my life once and for all. Open your mouth and say, I'm not afraid. What are you scared about? Devil is a liar. The Bible says that God created day and night. He set the moon and he set the stars. He is the God of light and he is also the God of darkness. He is the God of every creepy thing. Talk to that thing. Tell it, I'm not afraid. Get out of my house. You don't pay the bills, I do. You didn't pay for that house, I do. I pay the bills, I pay for that bed. Get out of here. Look at how early this spirit has been operating in our lives. And it doesn't introduce itself when you're psychologically mature. It starts at 3 years old, 4 years old, and you're crying because you're scared of what's under your bed. It has been several decades, an agenda that has been loosened, a spirit of terror in the hearts of people to prevent you from greatness and from coming into the fullness of your God. It has been working on you since you were a little girl. It's been terrorizing you since you were a little boy. Thinking that something's outside when it was only the wind. Oh, it's been working on you day in and day out so that it prevents you from reaching the greatness from the coming out of you. See, you're only as great as your last fear. That's why so many of you don't go further. That's why many of you don't push more. That's why many of you have hit a plateau, because you're afraid of failure. But with God, you can't fail. Everything is possible to him that believes. And if you realize that God did not give you a spirit of fear, in the same way that you reject cancer, in the same way that you reject sickness, in the same way that you reject sin, you ought to be rejecting the spirit of fear. Many of you are playing patty cake with the spirit of fear. But God did not give me a spirit of fear, the Bible says, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. You got to open your mouth and say, I am not afraid. I am not afraid. I'm not afraid of my past. I'm not afraid of my future. I am not. Because if God be for me, what can stand against me? No weapon formed against me will prosper and will prevail. This is only a test. This is only a season. But I got to divorce fear from my life, because it is not going to stand. Stop me. It stopped me for 30 years. But my God, I am in fierce pursuit against the spirit of fear. Yeah. Say, I'm not afraid. Yeah. Say, I'm not afraid. You got to open your Bible. My God, you've got to be ruthless. You've got to be bloodthirsty for war against the spirit of fear. Every fear that has paralyzed you, every fear that has held you back, you've got to break the spirit of torment and terror and intimidation. Look what it says in 1 John 4:7. Keep it up there. And it's 1 John 4:7. Real quick, if you don't mind, that'd be great. It says, verse 7, dear friends, let us love one another. Keep going. For love comes from everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Everyone who loves has been born where? So you're a byproduct or a product of knowing God. Loving God is a product of knowing God. 9, go to 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his only begotten son. In other words, write this down. Verse 9, love. Love. He said, this is how he showed his love. In other words, love is physical. He has to show it. I'm going to tell you how much I love you. I'm going to give you my only begotten son. Love will determine what you're willing to lose. Ooh. Love will determine what you're willing to lose. Show me what you love. what you really love. And I'll tell you what you're willing to lose. You can't say you love me and not sacrifice for me. Verse 10 and 11. Oh, it's going to get deep. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Keep going. And sent his son as an atonement or atoning sacrifice for our sins. Keep going, 11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Friendship and relationships. Hear me and hear me very good. In your walk with God, you cannot grow alone. I'm not saying you won't go through a season where God sets you apart. But to grow, God will not keep you in that season. Because you cannot grow by yourself. It's just me and God. And you isolate from everybody else. You will stay a dwarf. God uses relationships and interactions with people to grow you in love. Ooh. If you are an isolated man, an isolated woman, you do not have the preliminary to grow in love. That's why the enemy will isolate people. Have you ever noticed somebody, you're just like, they're not here. Like, they're here, but they're not here. That is the plan of the enemy, to isolate them so they stay in a dwarf stage. Relationships are opportunities to love. Who are you going to love? Yourself? That's what Satan did. 12. Read it real quick. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. There's one, it says, his perfect love is made perfected in us. You know what? One, you've heard it, perfect love. We'll go to actually 1 John. If you can go to, there's one translation that says, perfect love drives out all fear. Perfect love. Perfect love. You know what? Perfect. If something is perfect, that means that something's got to be imperfect. So if there's perfect love, there's also imperfect love. And there's also immature love. In other words, there's an elementary love. And the way love matures, the way your, how many of you want to mature in love so that fear can be driven out completely? All right. So the way love matures, write this down, is through your commitment to your relationships. Because real love will require for me to have endurance with you. If I'm going to be in relationship with you, sometimes I'm going to want to strangle you and you're going to want to strangle me. But real, perfect love is not elementary love. Have you ever been in elementary, when you were in elementary? Your friends, you're not friends. Your friends, you're talking. You're not talking, you're talking. And you're like, oh, drama. That's called elementary love. You have an immature love. But real, perfect love endures. I'm committed to you. You're committed to me. You don't walk out on me and I don't walk out on you. And sometimes you're going to want to strangle me and I'm going to want to strangle you. But perfect love endures and is committed till God says otherwise. That's good right there. Love endures. You can't say you love me and then break the commitment. You have an elementary love. He says, perfect love casts out all fear. Now we understand what is at the root of everybody that breaks commitment. Fear. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it describes love. And 1 Corinthians 13, come on PowerPoint, work with me. I got a next service. It says, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, then I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, now he's talking about immaturity. Because your love gauge has everything to do with your level of maturity. Show me how you really love, and I'll tell you how mature you really are. Love endures. Love does not quit. When I was a child, I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us a spirit and we have seen him testify. Okay, you know the story. Well, let's keep reading it. This is good. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. So Corinthians tells us that love endures. Where the faith spirit, or I should say the fear of failure. Have you ever had fear of failure? Do you want to know why? You have fear of failure because it is the absence of love. That in that area of your life, there is absence of love in your love walk. So when you have love, he says, perfect love casts out fear. There is no, he says it in verse 18, there is no fear in love. Either you're going to believe the Bible or this is, once you get full of the Spirit of God, you don't have fear. Because there is no fear in what? Love. This is going to liberate you. That means that when Jesus bought me with the price, with his precious blood, died on the cross for my sin, paid a ransom for me, at that place, I don't have to walk with fear. I can divorce fear. See, think about that. You chose the fear. I can't help it. Yes, you can. Who's in control of your thoughts? Who's in control of your life? Who's in control of your meditation? Who's in control of your conversations and your decisions? You are. Fear wants to be in your life. And when you let fear randomly in, living your life, you're surrendering your life to a spirit of torment. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out, put that scripture, perfect love casts out all fear, because fear has to do with punishment. Perfect love. Do you want to know what perfect love means? Mature love casts out all fear. I'm going to show you how God matures you in love. I'm going to show you. Listen, you cannot grow in love by yourself. That's called idolatry. That's how many people ended up stubborn. Because you want to grow by yourself, but you can't grow in love by yourself. You can only grow through relationships, and I said it earlier, that are godly, that are taking you to freedom. Because there's some relationships that are taking you out. A good friendship will take you to freedom, not to bondage. And if you're gonna grow in love, you need godly friendships that are going to be good for you. And you've got to endure in the love test, because I've got to grow some love and you need to grow in love. So I'm gonna endure in this thing, in the good, in the bad, and in the ugly, because I've got to know how to grow in love. Hello. What ends up growing you in love is that your life lessons, or I should say, your love lessons are going to be tested. Has your love ever been tested? If you're married, your love has been tested. Your love journey has to be tested and proven. Perfect love casts out all fear, which means if you're in a love relationship with God, your fears should start leaving. If you're in relationship with others that are godly friendships and they're taking you to freedom and you're enduring and you're committed and you know when to say sorry and you know when to just say, you know what, I humble myself. I'm here. I'm committed. I love you. You love me. Let's get this thing rolling, because I got to grow. You got to grow. I got greatness. You got greatness. We got a destiny. You got a destiny. You got a purpose. I got a purpose. So let's just grow this thing right now. I ain't leaving nowhere. You ain't going nowhere. So let's just call it truce. Hello. Your fears then should start leaving you. Different levels of fears start to leave your life. Fear of anything. Fear of anything in any level of your life. If you are in relationships and your relationships are wrong, hear me, and you better hear me well. If you are in a relationship, friendship, I don't care if it's a Facebook relationship, if it's, I've never met the person, but I'm farmers.com. If you are in any kind of relationship and it is the wrong relationship, your fears will increase. Your fears are going to increase. Ooh, this is so good. Fear of the future, fear of what will happen. The presence of fear has the right to exist in relationships that are not from God. Spirit of fear says, I have the right to exist because this relationship is not godly. They're taking each other to hell. This relationship is not godly. They're limiting. There no limitations are falling off. No bondages are falling off. This relationship is ungodly. So what's going to happen is that spirit of fear says, I have the right to exist there. When relationships are from God, fear has absolutely no license to rule there. When something is born out of righteousness, it welcomes the light. And it welcomes the law of liberty to your heart. Ooh, and then I gotta run. Maybe I'll tell them in the second service. Mature love. I love this. We love him because he loved us. In other words, I don't love him because he loved me. I love him because he loved me. In other words, I can love him like he loves me because he loved me first. So it's not conditional when I love God. One way to mature you have to love without expecting anything in return. Because God loves in risk. He risks for you. He said, I'm going to die. I don't know. Well, he does know everything, but he dies and then he risks. He said, I want them to serve me for the rest of their lives, but I'm going to risk it. And it doesn't matter if you do or don't, I still love you. And so God risks in love. He invested love in you in hopes that you would be drawn to him. Mature love. So can you love without the promise of getting something in return? This kind of love is mature love. Because mature love is not eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. That's immature love. Immature love says, you scratch my back, but the whole point of the cross is you died and you gave up your rights, Jesus, just to show me love with nothing in return. So the first to show love, hear me, the first one to show love is a mature love. The first one that shows love is the one that humbles themselves. That means that you got to get rid of all your ego, whether it was your fault or it wasn't your fault. But a person that is humble is willing to restore that relationship to say, you know what? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have answered you like that. But I'm going to grow in love because I'm going to really need you because God's using you to grow me because you're a godly relationship for me. So I'm going to humble myself. And I know in the back of your mind, I know it was their fault. But you know what? I'm going to humble myself. You get me? So many fears. I know you thought it. Really should be using, sorry, first. But mature love will be the first one to say, I'm sorry. So many fears. We're afraid to love. So many continue to do God's job. So many people have self-defense. You're on preservation. You're and then there's people who are so worn out because you have so many fears. Look at this. And then I'm going to say this. We just read it. One scripture says, if a man says, I love God, but hates his brother. Have you ever read that scripture? Find it for me. If a man says, I love God, but hates his brother. I think we just read it. You know that word hate? You say, I don't hate nobody. I love everybody. Yeah, really? Hate. If you study it in the Greek, it means to love less. There is an opportunity for that immature love to turn to hatred. Your target for people in your life, or my goal, your goal should be to love perfectly. My goal is to love perfectly. What does this love? Perfect love drives out fear. That's the kind of love that will remove every fear off of your life. God is trying to mature your love walk. He's dealing with you about relationships. If you haven't been a good friend, then repent. If you say, I'm afraid to get people to be close to me. Because I can have a relationship and say, hey, what's up? How are you doing? I'm doing good. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I'll call you. Yeah, I'll pray for you. Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, good. Oh, awesome. The week goes by, nothing. So you're afraid to love. You're afraid of somebody coming close to you. Because inside, there's a fear. And God is trying to mature you. So many lives on self-defense. You're like a ninja. Defending your heart. If God, now but hear me. There are some relationships, I've just got to burn bridges. And if God burned the bridge, then give me the match. Because it's somebody that, hello, give me the match, give me the bomb, give me the, so many people still have this fear of intimacy, afraid that somebody's going to come too close to you. And the more you say yes to the Lord, the more the Lord begins to work your love walk. So many people are so full of pride, fears, to befriend somebody. I dare you to go befriend somebody you've never befriended here. I'm going to challenge you. I dare you to find 3 people to befriend in this church. When you befriend somebody, it is one of the highest acts of humility before God. Because pride does not befriend anybody. Ooh. Some are comfortable, hear me. Some of you are comfortable with being alone. As a matter of fact, you want to duck under your chair right now. Because you are uncomfortable at what I'm saying. Because you like being alone. Some are so pessimistic, so critical, harsh, unhealthy, unloving. And Paul, he says this, he tells you the truth. I'm telling you the truth because I want you free and I want you to enter into the next in your life. Paul said, oh, now that I'm telling you the truth, now I'm your enemy. Don't be like Paul. I'm telling you the truth. Matter of fact, friends tell truth. No, seriously. Friends tell the truth. They don't let them with broccoli in their teeth. Friends like, look, you smell like cornstarch, man. You need to get some cologne. You need to lose a little bit of weight. Because friends tell the truth. I mean, of course, how you say it. But friends want the best for others. That's love. And the other one doesn't. And they didn't talk to you anymore. There's so much offense. I'm committed to you. And I'm going to offend you sometimes. Hello. But I promise you, it's for your good. Because I touched an ego that you didn't like. That is supposed to mature you in love.
Thank you for joining me. If you're listening through Apple Podcasts, don't forget to rate us and share with your friends and family. Leave us a comment and let us know what God has been doing in your life. Connect with me on my Instagram and Facebook and check us out on our website, www.ignitemovement.org. Links down below. Until next time.